Welcome to Nest Church, and thanks for listening to our podcast. We hope this word blesses you today. For more information, visit nestchurch.com. We hope to see you soon. And remember,
you are loved.
If you have your notes, go ahead and take them out. Your Bible, take it out. Your smart device, take it out. We want to go ahead and write down some notes. It's important. Today, we are continuing. This is our second part of our series, At Your Service. You heard me last week say when you go to a restaurant or wherever it is that someone's there to serve you, they say that to you. Hey, I'm here. I'm at your service. If you go to a hotel, the bellman or whatever, they say, I'm at your service. What does that mean? Sometimes it's a ring, a phone call, whatever it is, away, and they're there at your service, at your service. And we're talking about servanthood in our church, well, the importance of serving. I am so grateful that you come to church on Sunday, and I'm so grateful that people all over the world go to church on Sundays. How many of you could say amen? But I do not think that that's where it stays for everyone. I believe this, that there is so much more than just going to church. I believe that there is a servant's heart that we now are the church, and we serve away from just sitting down in a Sunday gathering. Do you believe that with me? If you are part of this house and call this place home, I want to stir your heart to tell you that I do not believe that your call is just to come here and stay seated, but to come and get plugged in into something that we do so you could build relationships and that you could grow and use your gifts and sometimes even find your gifts in serving. Amen. I want to share a quote by one of my favorite people in history, and you guys probably know this already, a man by the name of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And I'll quote him, and he says, the church does not need brilliant personalities, but faithful servants of Jesus and the brethren. Not in the former, but in the latter is the lack. So what Bonhoeffer is saying here, there is a lack of people who are faithful servants to the Lord, but more importantly, are faithful servants to the brethren. And Bonhoeffer says there's a lack within the church. We don't need brilliant personalities. The church does not need a face to represent that church. Like, I don't think any of us should be put in such a high honor. I think the face of the church, the recognition of the church should be Jesus Christ, and everyone else is just serving each other, making the church the healthiest church it can be. Amen? I believe that. I believe that we're called to serve. How many of you could say, I believe we're called to serve? I believe I'm called to serve. It's one of our codes. It's one of our calls that we set the stage. We serve God in excellence. I believe that I heard before we started this series a few weeks ago from the Lord. I heard this clearly that you've been quiet long enough and now it's time to serve. I believe serving is important within these four walls or within the four walls of any gathering of the church or of His church. I also believe it's just as important to serve joyously outside of our Sunday or any other meeting day in which our reach and lifestyle is not just defined by what we do in our known ministries. Are you with me? It's more than that, but that our reach and lifestyle has greater honor in the unknown daily ministries, which truly defines our service and devotion to the Lord and what He's called us to. Because let's be honest, one can preach the greatest of sermons, yet failing in their marriage. One can sing and lead in great moments of worship, yet failing in parenting their kids. One can vision, plan, and direct some of the greatest events in church history, yet failing in leading their homes and families. One can work well in planning and organizing outreaches, yet may be failing to love their neighbor. We are called the church. We are called His body. We are His beloved. We are his holy saints whose citizenship is not of this world, but whose citizenship is in heaven. So we are called the church, his holy body, his beloved. We are the people that are called not just to be great on what we do on a Sunday, but we are the church, a people mobilized to do kingdom work. I wish someone would get stirred up in this place today. That's who we are, a kingdom work. And kingdom work is not just the easy work or the safe work with the redeemed or with the sanctified. That's easy and safe. It's easy to look at a brother who knows the Lord and walks with the Lord and say, God bless you, brother. Would you like to have a prayer time together? But how about going to the middle of the street and getting that prostitute and giving her the name of Jesus, or giving the addict and giving them the gospel, or like think about what I'm saying. We are called to so much more. A kingdom work, not just easy or safe work for the redeemed and sanctified. Kingdom work is also difficult work. It is difficult work because it also serves the unsanctified. It serves the sinner as well. You heard me just say it. How else will the prostitute at the feet of Jesus come to know him? How else will the blind beggar told to shut up come to see him? How else will the outcast leper living in the outskirts of the city dump come to receive him? Come on, church. How else? I'll tell you how else. Unless we go. Unless we move. That's how we do it. As we learned last week, unless we go in greatness. What is greatness? Your greatness is not to preach to 5,000 people and you fill up an auditorium. That's nothing. Your greatness is to learn how to have a heart that serves even when no one sees you. Serving is greatness. That our greatness would be to lay down our lives for another. Casting Crowns wrote a song, and it was very famous. I forgot what year, but years back. And it was titled, If We Are the Body. You've heard that song before? I would attempt to sing it, but my sister kind of already rebuked me. So I can't sing it. But I will read the lyrics for you. If we are the body, it says, if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? A traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. Here he goes again. If we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? If we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them that there is a way? The church has great personalities already. Let them be the personalities. You, me, us, we are the feet, the hands, the body that is called to serve. Serve. Don't worry about anything else. Just serve. We visited the passage of Matthew 25 when we were in our study in the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm sure you'll remember it once we start reading it. And it gives us a glimpse. It gives us a glimpse of the day of judgment And I want to read this scripture to you. We can stand here and talk about this passage for hours, but I just want to read it. And like I say often here, let the text in itself minister to you and you get the understanding of what Jesus is saying here. I do not think that this text needs a preaching. I think it preaches well for itself. Matthew 25, speaking of the day of final judgment, it says, when the Son of Man, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, look at this, all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nation will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Imagine hearing those words from Jesus. Then these righteous ones replied to him, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty, give you something to drink, stranger, show you hospitality, naked, and give you clothing? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the Lord, the King, says, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Did he just preach or what? Today's message, today's conversation with you is this. Ready? You were doing it to me. You were doing it to me. Then the king, verse 41, will turn to the left and say, away with you. This is a very scary moment that I do not wish to have myself in. I do not want to be here, and I hope that none of you would want to be in this group. But there are many that will be in this group. The king turns and says, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me a drink. A stranger, you didn't invite me into your home. Naked, you didn't give me clothing. Sick, in prison, you did not visit me. And they replied the same question. When did we ever, Lord, see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and never help you? When did this happen? And he says, I tell you the truth. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. This is a scary moment because these go away into eternal punishment, the Lord says. And the righteous go into eternal life. How many righteous could say amen? What a passage. Do you think we need to preach on this? I mean, the Lord just says it straight up, doesn't sugarcoat it, doesn't put Jolly Ranchers and Sour Patches on it. He just says it how it is. This is the truth. You do unto others. And as you do it to them, know that you're worshiping me. You're serving me. But I preached on Sunday. What? Get out of here, Regal. You and your preaching on Sunday. Thank you for that. What a passage. It can be dangerous to just serve inside the four walls. Why do I say this? Because I've seen that it leads to religiosity. Though I want you all to serve within these four walls, don't just get confined to serving in him here. Because you sit next to someone at work that if they die, are they going to hell? Because you have a family member that you're going to meet up with today that if they pass away this week, you're going to say, oh no, I should have served them more. I want you to recognize the heart of Christ. It can be dangerous just to set yourself to define servanthood, what you do just at Nest Church or any other church. I've seen that it leads to, please, I'm not speaking to anyone here, but I have seen it. I've seen that it leads to religiosity when it's just a church. When someone just serves in the church and has no kind of servant's heart outside of the church, that individual becomes a religious person and they become a legalistic person. Legalism creeps up in their heart. That individual is consumed by their own image and by their own gifting. That person begins to suffer from something called narcissism. That person is consumed even by the lack of others, even themselves. They become egotistical. There's so much more that we can say. But Dietrich Bonhoeffer says this: the church does not need brilliant personalities, but faithful servants. Faithful servants of Jesus and faithful servants of the brethren. Not in the former, but in the latter is the lack. When we do this, when we serve inside these four walls, it's special. I'm not saying that it's not, but we have learned this. If you do it with the right heart, you've learned that it's greater than you. Serving is greater than us. So now servanthood begins to change. Listen now. Lifestyle changes. The hearts change. And we don't have to rely solely on our church to be used or to be able to use our gifts. Because that's what a lot of people do. If the church doesn't use my gift, I guess I will go somewhere else where they will use it. You don't have to rely solely on the church, because now this doesn't become a place that you get together to perform. This is a place that you get together because you've decided it's family. Okay? And this is beautiful, the heart of God. We don't have to be worried about others, what they do, what they don't do. Speaking to myself here. Because now you can walk in a lifestyle of servanthood that is more active in secrecy outside the four walls than it gets to the point in their lives that it doesn't matter to you if anyone sees it or knows of it. Because you found rest. Everyone say rest. Knowing that heaven knows and it is recorded in heaven. So we serve others. Listen to this. And as we serve others, it's not announced on social media. And it's not announced on a platform, though we are putting our team on our platform. But when we do this for something greater than us, maybe no one comes to know of it. But all of heaven rejoices and applauds the righteous deeds of the saints. We serve even when there is no one on earth to applaud us, because we find joy knowing that heaven rejoices. Amen? Matthew 25, verse 40 and verse 45. Look at these scriptures. And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, you did it to me. You were doing it to me. Do you see that? It's bigger than us. Scripture is saying it's bigger than us. When we do something so, at times, to us it seems insignificant, Jesus says that insignificant thing that you thought was of no value of honor, you did it unto me. And that right there should give you joy, knowing heaven rejoices and the Lord watches. I tell you the truth, when you refuse, verse 45, to help the least of these, you refuse to help me. So why serve? Why serve? We're answering it. Because we're doing it for him. And if we're going to serve, let's look at this beautiful scripture in Matthew 5:16. And we've read this here so many times. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let your good deeds, we have it? Shine for all to see, so that it will give glory to your heavenly Father. That's why you and I serve. Amen? That passage actually comes from Matthew 5, where it says this: you are the salt of the earth. What good is it if salt loses its flavor? How can one be salty again? It's thrown out, trampled underfoot as worthless. It's kind of, guys, it goes together with Matthew the other scripture that we just read in Matthew 25. Notice how these two things come together. He says, you are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on the stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, and there it is, that your good deeds, that your good deeds, church, beloved, you, your mine, ours, our good deeds, let them shine so that all the praise could be given to our Father. That's why we serve. We have an opportunity this week as we encourage you to know that as you serve, you do it to Him. And this week you have the opportunity with Love Life to do something that is greater than yourself. You could come with us at 9 in the morning and walk and pray with us. Walk and pray. Walk and pray. And just say, Lord, I'm fighting for these children. I'm fighting for these moms. I'm fighting for these fathers that are stuck in darkness, that are being pressured by others. I'm fighting for the children in the womb that don't have a voice for themselves yet. The church will make noise, and we will be seen, and we will serve that child. I love that as I'm sharing, have you heard the children in the background in the class? You've heard the child. Thank you. No, that's great. Actually, he couldn't have done it at a better time. I want him to do that. Did you hear how that baby just cried? The most beautiful sound is that a child came from them, that a child has been given. So we fight for that. We fight for the child. And know this, even this weekend, you might say, well, how can I serve? Well, talk to us. Talk to the hype team. Talk to us. Talk to me. Talk to one of our leadership. And we will plug you in somehow. We will connect you into, we need so much help. The hype teams put up the tent today for the first time in how long? Why? Because they need people to help them put up the tent. Liz and Debbie cannot build that hype team by themselves, the hype tent. So Liz and Debbie need some men to say, I'll get here on Sundays early, and I will make sure that that tent is up and everything is good. You guys do the decorations, but I'll pop up the table, and I'll pop up the tent, and I'll make sure the church is clean. Like, we need people to just say, I want to get involved in this house. Trust me, we'll find somewhere for you. Amen? And as you do it to Him. It's happening to Him. Because you're serving Him. Also, we talked about vacuuming, cleaning bathrooms, all those things. That's to Him, man. That is to Him. It's for His glory. So we have this Saturday an opportunity to do something for Him. Fight for life. We're going to show a video, and Mia's going to come up after that video, and she's going to share a little bit about Love Life. But I want to read to you what we are. Nest Church is considered a house of refuge. And as a house of refuge, we come alongside Love Life, and we said, yes, we are available, and we know what our call is as a church to be a house of refuge. Listen to these words. If you haven't noticed, this frame with the house of refuge hangs on our wall. So when you walk in, it's one of the first things you see every Sunday. It says this. Nest Church is a house of refuge that applies to everyone in this church or people you know that need a place of refuge. Here's what we believe. Guys, I just went like this. Thinking it was an iPad. All right. Gosh. We're living in the last days. I'm scrolling on a frame. I'm literally trying to blow up the... Jesus. If you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, this is what we believe. Please know that being pregnant is not a sin. And the child you carry is not punishment. It is a blessing. God is knitting this child in your womb. You may have made a sinful decision that led to this pregnancy, or you may have even been sinned against. But we want you to know that you are loved, and we will do whatever it takes to help you carry and care for this precious child before and after birth. We can never support or encourage a woman to have an abortion. Because the child that you carry is made in the image of God and is valuable and loved by God, you need to know how we will respond. Here's what we won't do. This church family will not gossip about you, shame you, abandon you. This is a house of refuge. And we will not allow for the family of God to harm one another with the words or actions contrary to the love of God as revealed in His Word. And here's what we will do. We will do everything in our power to remove whatever obstacles stand in the way of you having this child. There are people in this church ready to mentor you, throw you a baby shower, and connect you with resources inside and outside of our church, local pregnancy care centers, and we will also hold men accountable for living out their calling to provide and protect women and children. Finally, if you have ever had an abortion in your past, we want you to know that abortion is not an unforgivable sin. Whoever confesses and forsakes their sin finds mercy. If you have never gone through a post-abortion Bible study, we will be happy to connect you to one so that you can walk in complete healing and freedom. Nest Church is a house of refuge. Amen? Praise God.
For such a time as this, that the Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest force for good the world has ever seen.
In the Spirit of God, be obedient to the call of the gospel in our life, and the unity already exists. Today, we are showing that. Let's show the watching world what this looks like.
Amen, Nest Church. Let's welcome Mia as she shares on Love Life. Amen. Thank you, Mia, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a blessing, an honor, and a privilege to get to be here in Nest Church. The heart of Nest, the heart of your pastor, is to love others, is to serve others. And I always reflect on the first time, I think 3-4 years ago now, that I ever stepped foot onto the campus of Nest Church. Immediately when my mom and I got out of the car, we were like, these people are loving. These people love people. And the moment we walked in, it was like we had been here our entire lives and we had known everyone our entire lives. So thank you. Thank you for all that you do as an outpouring of your love for Christ and as a desire to express your love for Christ to other people. A thank you to Pastor Rigo. Be thankful that your leadership, that your pastor has this kind of boldness, has this kind of desire to lead his church, to lead the people that he's responsible for into something as uncomfortable and challenging as this kind of mission field, as this kind of battlefield. It takes a courageous man empowered by the Holy Spirit, empowered by God to do that. And so praise God and be thankful to God that in your church you have a pastor and a leader that leads you into that. So thank you, Pastor Rigo, for your continued. And any time Love Life has ever had a need or an ask, your pastor is there, he is present, and he is ready, willing, able to help. And because he does that, the sheep do that. The sheep abide and they follow and they want to continue to serve. And that is by way of the amazing example you have by a man who just seeks to honor the Lord. So we're so thankful for Nest Church, and we're thankful to Pastor Rigo and his wife and how they help lead and shepherd and facilitate a body of Christ that wants to serve him. So Love Life is an organization that works to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that will result in an end to the abortion and orphan crisis in America. We believe that it is the mission of the church. We believe that it's the responsibility of the church to love people enough, to show them Christ enough, so that they will turn from sin, so that they will turn from wickedness. I can't believe how gracious and providential God is to have had Pastor preach on the verse that he was preaching on, that what you did to these, to the least of these, you did unto me. What you refused to do to the least of these, you refused to do unto me. And church, I would challenge you that the least of these, I can't think of someone more least of these than a child in the womb, potentially unwanted by the mother that is growing them. And later in the scriptures, it says that true religion is caring for the widow and for the orphan. Church, I can't think of someone more orphaned than a child in the womb. The definition of an orphan is a child whose parents have died. Can you imagine the orphanhood of a child whose parents would rather have them dead because they're inconvenient, or because of the manner in which they were conceived, or the timing in which they were conceived? And so what Love Life does is, yes, we do prayer walks. Yes, we invite the church to come out and to see what happens. So on Saturday, what Nest Church and The Way Church and CDM Church are being invited to do is accompany us, as what we do every Saturday for 40 Saturdays in a row. The gestation period of a child is 40 weeks. And so for 40 Saturdays in a row, every single year, we prayer walk to the same abortion facility. And we don't protest. We don't lay down in the street in the parking lot. We don't do any of that. We pray. We walk. We sing. And why do we do that? We do that so that people walking into the facility, so that the nurses and the doctors walking into the facility hear the sound of the church praying for them. We do that so that the women that are getting out of their cars weeping over what they're about to do, or they get out of their cars ignorant as to what they're about to do, for the men that drive their women into this parking lot, leading them to do this thing, so that they hear the sound of somebody praying something different over them. That's what we do that for. And so from there, then we encourage you to do more. Then we encourage you to get involved in helping throw baby showers, like the House of Refuge statement said, helping throw baby showers, helping provide resources for these moms. Because the other thing Love Life does is we don't just prayer walk. We commit, any mom that chooses life, we commit to walk alongside of her for a minimum of 2 years. So through the gestation period of the child, after the child is born, and an additional year. So we don't just care about the child in the womb and then, you know, as long as you save the baby, that's all we care about. No, we care about what happens to you after the child is born. And so with that 2-year commitment comes a mentor. Where do the mentors come from? The church. And so we get the church involved. We bring you guys to the abortion clinic to see what it is you're doing, and then we encourage you to get involved beyond that. Whether that's helping throw baby showers, whether that's, hey, I have this in my past and Jesus changed my life and I want other women to know and hear and my experience, and I want to be able to minister to other women. We want women to be able to mentor women, men to be able to mentor men. Men, if you have strong leadership in the Lord and you have a compassion for this issue, there are men that are taking women to abortion clinics because they don't know any better, that they need mentorship as well. And they're part of that 2-year commitment as well. We bring the moms, depending on where the moms live, we connect them to the church. So if a woman here locally in Hialeah or Miami was to choose life outside of an abortion clinic, we would direct her and ask her to come to Nest. A mentor here would attend church with her and do life with her and pray with her, but that comes from the church. The role the church plays also is helping equip Love Life with sidewalk missionaries. And what sidewalk missionaries are, the people that they are, the soldiers for Christ that they are individuals that stand outside the clinic every day, every hour that the clinic is open. So at Astor Women's Center, the clinic that we're going to walk to on Saturday, we have Tom, we have Patty, we have Jeanette, we have Vern. Those are individuals that have committed their lives to making sure that children will not die on their watch. And that's a tough commitment. That's a tough thing to say. But as much as it is in their power, they will not sit idly by knowing that there are children dying 10 minutes from their house. That is the role of sidewalk missionaries. But where did they come from? They came from the church. And so that's why Love Life comes to the church, because we can't go to the YMCA asking for help. We can't go to, you know, Chick-fil-A, as great as they are. We can't go to Chick-fil-A asking for help. Atheists can feed the homeless because they see a need. Jehovah's Witnesses do prison ministry. Nobody is saving children in the womb other than the believer in Christ, because we are the only ones endowed with the truth and the knowledge of God to understand life beyond what we can see. And so it's our responsibility to take that into the world. And as Pastor Rigo so eloquently preached, it's our responsibility not to just serve in the four walls of the church, because as great as this is, what happens here doesn't matter if it doesn't happen out there. And as it says on your mission statement, you leave the nest. So we have to leave the nest. We have to do more. You know, one of the things that I think about often is one of those church-isms that we hear often is, oh, I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Church, the hands and feet of Jesus got pierced for our transgressions. The hands and feet of Jesus got nailed to a cross. The hands and feet of Jesus washed other people's feet. The hands and feet of Jesus weren't coddled. The hands and feet of Jesus served. The hands and feet of Jesus experienced pain. And so if you want to be the hands and feet of Jesus, praise God, be the hands and feet of Jesus. It's interesting to hear people often will ask me or ask my family, they'll say like, oh, it's so great that you guys are passionate about that. It's so great that that's, you know, your ministry, that that's what you guys involve yourself in. You know, praise God for the work you guys do. Yeah. I am passionate about not seeing children die, just like Dietrich Bonhoeffer was passionate about not seeing Jews killed and gassed in chambers by Nazis, just how all of the other people who helped end slavery were passionate about not seeing individuals treated like less than human. That's what this is not seeing people treated less than human. This is not a political issue. Abortion is not a political issue. Abortion is not a financial, abortion is purely a gospel issue. How you view life in the womb says a lot about how you view your creator, because Jesus chose to come to the world through the womb of a woman. He chose to identify with his creation to the extent of becoming a fetus, of becoming a child in the womb and entering creation that way. That's how much he loves us, that he chose to identify with us in that way. And if that's true of how the creator of the universe, your creator, chose to enter the world when he could have come in on chariots with angels surrounding him, but he chose to come in through the womb of a woman. Why? Because that's how much he values it. When Mary goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth, and Jesus comes he's in Mary's womb, and Mary's pregnant with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist does a backflip in the womb. As it says in the Gospels, it doesn't say he does a backflip, it says he leapt in his mother's womb. How did the child in Elizabeth's womb know to leap? Because he was in the presence of his creator, who was also in the womb, who was creating John the Baptist as John the Baptist is in the womb, because the preeminent creator of the universe, while knitting himself together in the womb, was knitting John the Baptist in the womb. So church, God views life in a very specific light. We love life because God loves life. And so there are a million difficult questions to ask in the cases of rape, in the cases of if the mother's life is at risk. And I promise you, there are answers for every single one of them. And if you have any, I encourage you to come up. We have a table in the back. You'll be able to meet Jonathan, one of our sidewalk missionaries. He is at a clinic here in Miami every day. You'll be able to talk to Matthew. Matthew's my incredible loving boyfriend, who has so much knowledge on politics and such a passion for bringing the gospel into that and being able to have difficult conversations. You'll be able to talk to me that I struggled myself with being able to understand, like, okay, well, there's these difficult conversations and I don't know how to answer these questions. There are answers, but you have to be willing to hear them. You have to be willing to discuss them. So please, I hope all of that encourages you to know that Love Life is an organization that we're uniting and mobilizing the church to do more than just be in the walls of the church, to see a need in your city, to see a need in the country, and be able to do something about it. Because we will not see favor from the Lord in our daily lives. We will not see favor from the Lord in our country if there is evil happening outside all the time and we do nothing about it, and we say nothing about it. In Ephesians, it says that we should take no part, Ephesians 5:11, to take no part of works of darkness, but rather expose them. It doesn't stop at take no part of works of darkness, period. The verse continues, but rather expose them. And that's what we're doing, church. We're exposing the works of darkness, helping people come to Jesus. Not helping people come to Love Life, because Love Life is not the answer. The Church of Jesus Christ is the answer, because Jesus Christ is the answer. So, church, Saturday, 9 a.m., we have a mission. We have a missions trip. It's a local missions trip. And we encourage you all, register. There's going to be a QR code on the screen. We have a table in the back. Myself, my name is Mia, Matthew, Jonathan will be back there. With that table, you'll be able to register, get more information, ask difficult questions if you have them. And most importantly, be a part of this opportunity to love God and to love people. Thank you so much for your willingness to serve. We love you, and I hope to see you Saturday.
Amen. Thank you, Mia. Appreciate it. Thank you. We're so grateful that Mia and Matthew and Jonathan are here and that they took their time. They will be out in the hype tent that's out erected outside. Make sure that you go to the table, and they will answer any questions. And make sure that before you leave, click on this thing, scan this, and register for the walk. I want to see all of us there on Saturday. Every single one of us. When you register as well on Saturday, you're going to be given a shirt. On Saturday, you're going to be given a shirt, so that way you could walk with one of these shirts. So scan that today, register, and Saturday we're going to give you a shirt, and you could just change right there. So excited for this. When you do these, okay, for the least, you do it unto him. And what a great opportunity that we are in this walk and in this move right here while we're talking about servanthood in this series called At Your Service. Praise God. We have some work to do this week. We want to see everyone on Saturday. Can you guys stand with me? Can you guys stand with me? Hallelujah. Ooh, you saw that aura when you guys stood? Heaven started singing. All right. Praise God. If you are next to Jessica, is that Jessica? Yes. Jessica's right here. Vanessa's here somewhere too. Vanessa's back there. You see Vanessa back there? Jessica's here. Anyone else this week? Let me know of. Anyone? Who else is, whose birthday? Gerson's. When's Gerson's? Gonzalo's daughter. So you could, is she here? If not, just put your hand on Gonzalo. Get around. Jessica and Vanessa, some of you guys that are right next to them, someone could reach over to Gonzalo if you want and just pray for his daughter as well. They celebrated their birthday this week, amen? Thank you. We're talking about life, and we're celebrating life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for worship. I thank you for all the things that you're doing. I thank you for the Moms to Mom conference that is being put together. I pray that you would stir it in the hearts of every mom in here, Lord God, that they would want to get involved in something like this, Lord. That today they will see Anika, that they would register, that they would hit the QR code and get involved in that and meet other moms and grow together. So we just pray for that, that you would just meet us there, Lord God. We pray for that date, for that moment. Lord, I thank you for this weekend that we as a church, together with The Way and with Conrad and Danny Genusis and their church, CDM, we get to walk together and pray and worship you and just spend time being the hands, the feet, and just crying out to you, Lord, for the lives of those that need us to stand for them. This is what we are called to do as Christians. This is what we should be doing. So we thank you for Love Life, for leading the way so effectively with churches and pastors. I thank you for Mia, for Pastor Frank, who's at the way today, sharing the word and sharing about Love Life, for his whole team, Bernie, for everyone in North Carolina, Mark and Holly, the founders, everyone up there, and all the work that's happening all over our nation through Love Life. Thank you for Jonathan, Matthew, as you've stirred in their heart to serve you in this capacity, that you will continue to use them as well. I pray that not some, not most, but I pray that all of us here that can make it on Saturday to the walk will be there, and that we will be stirred in our heart to join this prayer walk together. So Lord, we thank you for this day today. I thank you for all the birthdays, Lord, that are being celebrated, for the ones that are to come. We pray your hand, your blessing over their lives, for life, that they would just have a good year, a year where they just really just encounter and rest in your glory, in your presence. Continue to move our nest forward. I pray that next Sunday, you'll continue to fill up this house, and that we'll continue to reach out to people, serve people, and bring people. That people would hear the word of God, that people would know the presence of God and be encountered and be transformed. We thank you for all of this. We give you all the glory. We do it unto you. It's in Jesus' mighty name. And together we say, amen. Come on, give God some praise. Worthy. Hey, if you need to come up here for a time for a meeting, meet the pastor and all that, we'd love to have that conversation. Make your way up. Remember three words. You are loved. God bless you guys.